You could tell Tony he's wrong, but he might not hear you.
What?
The Montreal Forum with Tony Marinaro. TSN 690.
The United States wins the World Junior Hockey Championship.
And there you have it. That was the call on TSN. Gordon Miller and Ray Ferraro with the call. That was a couple of days ago. It was the World Junior Tournament with Team USA prevailing in the gold medal game by a score of 2-0 over Canada. Just a couple of days over what I would imagine was a very, very tough loss. The head coach of Canada's World Junior team, Andre Tourigny, is kind enough to join us today. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Very good. How are you, Coach?
Not too bad.
Geez, after all the interviews that you did leading up to this tournament and following the tournament, I have to tell you, I'm just very grateful that you're doing this a couple of days later, because I think everyone would understand if you would take the phone off the hook and say, I've had enough.
I think it goes with the territory. I think it's we had the support of so many people during the tournament, make that tournament so special. I think it's important to not forget where you're coming from. When you have that all that support, all that love, you appreciate it. So when thing doesn't turn the way you want, you cannot hide. You need to face the music.
Coach, you just heard that call from Gordon Miller a couple of days later. Does it still hurt because that was the goal? Or do you look at it and say, you know what? We were without Alexis Lafreniere. We had our captain, Kirby Dach, who got hurt in camp. We were without him. We had our camp suspended for about 2 weeks because of COVID. We came out with a silver medal. We did pretty well. Which one is it? Does it hurt, or does it feel good to be a silver medalist?
I will say both, but not in the sense you brought it, in the sense of, for me, excuses are unacceptable. You don't look for excuses. You look for solution, and you do the best with what you had. Without Kirby Dach, without Alexis Lafreniere, with 19 days of quarantine, 14 in Red Deer, five in Edmonton, with injury, with that, we still give, in the first six game of the tournament, plus the pre-tournament game, we still give no goal at 5-on-5. We still have give to that point only in four goal against in seven games. We score a million goal, I don't know how many, but 40-something. I'm not looking for excuses. I'm really, really proud of the boys, because they've been put in the situation where you mentioned a few factors. They didn't have a season. We had adversity, and they react well all the time. So for me, it was two really good teams in the final, and we played really hard. And we pushed back really hard, and the American gave up 19 scoring chances at 5-on-5 in the four game leading to that game. They were really stingy. We found a way to create more than a dozen scoring chances at 5-on-5 against them in the final, which is almost even with the total they gave in four games. So we did a lot of good things. We knew it will come at the end with a good bounce or a bad bounce. That's the way it is. The year before, against Russia, the lead 3-1. We took a wrister from our defenseman in the offensive zone, hit the stick of the defender, the forward, hit the left leg of McMichael, went to the right leg of McMichael, make it bounce on the ice, step over the pad of the Russian goalie to make it 3-2. Then they took a penalty, 3-3. And the puck bounced over their defenseman of their stick. Akil Thomas got a breakaway score. So that is, you can go every year if you want. You look at Eberle goal. The Russian has the puck on the stick with no time. He hides the puck, and then the next play, the puck went through the legs of the defender, and Eberle alone with the goalie made a goal for the age. So that is what the World Junior is. It's at the end of the day, the line between the two team is so thin, and it's so tight. it goes with a good bounce. They score a first goal in a deflection in front of the net. We knew that for both teams, that was the both team needed that kind of thing. And the next goal, it's a bad bounce off the board and come back. And us, we had some bounce, but we could not put it behind Knight. And that's the difference. So I'm really proud of our player, really proud of the way we work, the way we battle, the way we commit ourselves. We went all in on everything. I think we did a really good job. I'm devastated because we didn't win, and we had a full nation were pushing with us and couldn't get it done, so it hurt a lot.
Coach, I thought there were some of your players that obviously didn't have their best game in the final, but I guess that goes hand in hand with the opponent that you're playing and some of the things that they took away from you, correct? I mean, in the first half of the game, because I thought it was a game of two halves, all right? In the first half of the game, what did the Americans do that made some of your players and your team a little uncomfortable?
Well, I think we were not pressing as hard as if you, I know, Tony, you watch all the tournament, I'm sure. Our pressure on our opponent, the time and space we gave our opponent was second to none. So we did not have the same physicality in the first half. We were pressing, but without going through them, without being physical, without engaging in the battle in the same way. So we were not forcing them to execute at the pace we did in the second half. In the second half, we were absolutely relentless, and that was our trademark for the first half. I think we started the game really well. First 5 minutes, it's ours. Then the Americans took the momentum for about 12 minutes, and we had no answer. We could not get going. I will say the way it happened, and I rewatched the game. First 5 minutes, we're on it. We're good. The next 5 minutes, it's 50-50, and then they took the momentum for about 12 minutes where we did not make plays with the puck. We were forcing thing, and they were all over us. And after we get back at it, and for the next about 38 minutes, in all fairness, we had about the first shift of the second period. They took momentum after we had about 8-9 minutes where we had the momentum, but we could not get any offense going. And the last 30 minutes of the game, we had a lot of offense there, post and different stuff. Empty net and whatever. We could not get it done. But the big thing is, the fact, and again, I said it from the beginning, we're not looking for excuses. Mm-hmm. The reality of it is our player, if you look, the two back-to-back we had in the tournament were not as good.
Yeah.
The game against the Slovak was not as good, even if the previous night was not a tough night physically. But our player did not have a season. They did not play a back-to-back leading to that tournament. Training camp is not the same thing than a season, so that hurt us a little bit with what happened there.
If I can, Coach, I also think what helped USA is that they had such a battle the day before. I think it actually prepared them better than your team that ran away. And mind you, your team ran away versus the Russians because you had a great performance. And, you shouldn't be penalized for that. But do you think there's a little bit of truth in what I'm saying there, the fact that they had such a close game that came down to about 90 seconds left in the game before they scored the winner versus your team that was, the game was almost over after the first period if it wasn't? Do you think that helped them?
I think so. I think, when you have a season before, your player are used to play when they're down by one or they're up by one. They used to try to make some comeback. They used to play injured. They used to play in two games in two nights. And we think even if you play in the NHL for 10 years, every year the training camp, you need to get back at it. And the start of the season, you get back at it. You watch the NHL, Tony. Don't tell me a game in November and a game in February is the same game. I've been there. You want to get back at your good habits and your decision under pressure and all of it as quick as possible. But at the same time, it's a muscle memory and you need to get back at it. And the more you play, more you get in tune. And when you arrive in the playoff in the NHL, there's barely no mistake because the guys are in the groove. So us this year was a different tournament. We did not have that. So that's, I think, the fact we were in quarantine, we missed six games against CIS, and our game against Sweden been canceled because of their COVID situation.
Yeah.
That those are factors could have definitively helped on the road.
Hey, Coach, I have to ask you, with Andre Tourigny, because I never coached hockey, quite frankly. I'm not qualified for it, because if I was, I would have, okay? So now I have you here, a great coach, and I need to ask you, and I tweeted this during the game. At one point, I see what's going on, or at least I think I see what's going on.
Yeah.
The States got their goal, and then they got their second, and then it almost seemed like they allowed, you guys had no other choice but to attack. You're losing 2-0. You need to score two goals to at least take it to overtime. And it's kind of like they're in kind of like a prevent defense mode, which you would call in football, right? They're kind of like, you know, but they're just, they're bringing everyone back. They're trapping. You can tell they are trapping, and they've changed the way they played at that point. And I'm tweeting and I'm thinking, Canada's trying the same thing all over again, but now it's not working, and the clock has become the enemy, right? Because you're trailing, and the clock is ticking, and I'm thinking, maybe they should go to four forwards here and change the way they attack. I mean, am I completely in left field by thinking that? Is that crazy? Was it at all a consideration, or take me through that, please?
Yeah, that's it's a strategy you can use, but depends about the quality of defensemen you have. And us, we had a lot of defensemen of 50, 60 points last year. We had a lot of defensemen who can generate offense. And, you know, it's as stupid as it sounds, it's not the same thing for a forward to create offense from the back end than creating from down low. When you play hockey, you're at the blue line, you have a different approach to how you create your offense, finding blades and different stuff. When you play up front, it's more battle, quickness, attacking space. It's a different mindset. We saw it during the tournament and on some face-off play we did when we were bringing our defensemen down the wall or cutting, and we were feeding a high forwards. And the forwards at the blue line, most of the time, is flat foot, doesn't move his feet, has a tough time to find a lane. It's not the same thing. So I think on the long season, I will agree with you, Tony, because you can work on those things and you can know your player better and know who can do it, who cannot do it. For us, I think when you have Jimmy Drysdale and Bo Byram and Tom Harley and Brandon Schneider, even Korzak is another guy who made a lot of points in his season last year, 50-some points. So those are guys who could bring offense, so we went with the same strategy. But again, it's tough to go in that situation and know exactly how each of them would have react. You know what I mean? When you coach a team for 80 games, you know who can do what. Like, come on, 80 games, you see it all. But when you coach 7 games, it's different.
Coach, I know you love all your players, obviously, but you got to know some that you probably didn't know all that well. Is there one that maybe, from a hockey point of view, in terms of hockey player, that you have a greater appreciation for today? And from a person, a human being point of view, someone else that you may have discovered that really, really left you with a very favorable impression?
Yeah, that's a good question. For sure, you have a player who you have a different appreciation. I think one guy is Jacob Peltier. As much as a player and as a person, I knew Pelt because I've been at the U18 with him. But, you know, U18, those guys are 17 years old. You have time to grow, and you don't know how they will grow and how they will fit. And his leadership and his attention to detail on the ice and every detail and his consistency is absolutely phenomenal. He is not a superstar like Connor McDavid or that kind of stuff by no stretch, but he's a player who will be well liked by his team, his teammate, wherever he will go. That's for sure. I have few names. I think Alex Newhook. I have a different appreciation for the kid right now. I
good
think
player.
Good player, quick, care a lot, wants to be better every day. He's a great kid. He's a great player. So I think the guy like Cousin, I knew Cousy a lot.
Yeah.
Bo Byram, I will never get sick to be around this guy.
My God.
Everybody knows he's a good player, okay, but he's such a competitor. And Tony, you will love to spend time with Bo Byram.
Jesus.
There's no boring minute with Bo Byram.
Coach, when he was handing out those medals at the end of the game, holding back tears, or and a point that he couldn't, and he was crying. I got to tell you, I got so teary eyed at home. He was devastated. The young man. It's too bad because he had such a great tournament. You know.
Oh, and such a great heart and care, and he competes. And I thought, to be honest, I thought he was the. He brought us in the fight in that game. If you watch the game, look in the second period, at some point he was pushing so hard. He brought everybody in the team, and I was saying that a lot during the game on the bench. I was yelling. I was saying, Bo, keep going. You bring us in the fight. You bring us in the fight. And the players start to follow, and he turned the game around. I think, like I said, he took us about 22 minutes to have our A game, and the guy who turned that around for me is Bo Byram. He brought us in the fight, and from there, I think we were a different team. And he's on the ice, off the ice, it's fun to be around. He has energy. He likes to chirp. He likes to have fun. He doesn't take himself seriously. He's fantastic.
I made a mistake with Andre Tourigny, head coach of Canada's World Junior Team. I made a mistake the night of the final. And that was actually taken to Twitter with your team trailing, because there were a lot of unhappy people, right? And I, without any maliciousness or bad intent whatsoever, I had just tweeted that I thought that Gouley, and now we're talking about the first half of the game, right, Coach? I tweeted that I thought that Gouley was struggling. And by the way, like, he wasn't the only one. I just thought that because of the states and the way they were playing, I thought he was a little bit more of a second behind in terms of reactions than he had been throughout the entire tournament. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that I think he's going to have a long career. But did you see that? Because a lot of people said to me, no, you're wrong, and you know the Canadians drafted him, so you can't. But you know, I love the kid. I thought he had a good tournament, but he's not the only one. I think the states once again made some players took them out of their comfort zone a little bit, but was I wrong? Did you see that, or?
You cannot say that in Montreal, Tony. Yeah. You're lucky we're in quarantine. Now you cannot go out of your place.
Jeez.
No, but seriously, Gouls was at a really good tournament. I liked him before, like you know.
Yeah.
Now I love him even more. Phenomenal. Oh, He's mean, he's intense, he's focused, he's a good kid, he has a lot of intangible, he's easy to coach, he's a real deal for me. But yeah, he had a tough going. To his defense, at some point, we had a little bit the wrong matchup. When he was playing against Zegras, his line, the time you saw him struggle in that game, he was matched against the first line, because we got caught on the rotation early in the first, and example on the goal again. And I think it was tougher for him, but he was not the only one. I think he struggled when the five guys on the ice were struggling as well. We had a few situations where we had a bad shift, and Gouls was one of those guys. Like I said to someone yesterday, I don't blame him. Did he make a mistake? Yeah, but it's a difference by saying this guy made a mistake than saying this guy has to take the blame for a goal or a play. I think Gouls was really good for us, but in that game he had some moment where he had difficulty.
Coach, I know you said at the beginning that excuses are for losers and you don't want to use them, but you know, excuses is one thing and reality is something else. And what the reality is that, you know, with Alexis Lafreniere and with Kirby Dach and the fact that you didn't have camp for about 2 weeks, look, I think it obviously it made a difference. But yet, you know what? You know, you can't win gold all the time, but you know what the fans want, right? They just want Canadian kids with Canadian heart to fight until the end. And your team did that. And I'm not surprised by that. Thank you, Coach, for giving us just such great moments throughout the holiday season, watching your team play with so much heart and energy. We so enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me.